This is Dr. Amrita, and you're listening to the Health Wellbridge podcast. Today, I'm talking with Meeta Gupta, founder and CEO of Moola for Women. She's a finance professional with over 30 years of experience in various fields of finance. Hi, Meeta. Tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Sure, Amrita. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity and for your audience and for all the people out here. I'm Meeta Gupta and I'm the founder of Moola for, and the CEO of Moola for Women. I am a finance professional and I have over 30 years of experience in the field of finance. I have done all sorts of roles in finance. I think, you know, I mean, in 30 years, I think I've covered the entire span of my financial, literally everything in finance. And until 2 years back, I was working in corporate jobs and banks and finance companies and made many other financial jobs till 3 years back when I left it all and started Moola. Moola is actually a financial platform which is designed specifically for women with the idea of not teaching them finance, but making them financially literate and making them feel empowered and feel independent, right? That, for the longest time, women feel scared about finance or their social conditioning is, oh, no, finance is not for me. But I wanted to create a safe and a judgment-free zone where women feel safe to be able to take charge, to learn and then take charge of their finances from a position of knowledge. And today, as Moola stands, we have more than 1,000 women in my tribe from across the globe. And I've impacted over 5,000 women from world over. And it's hugely fulfilling.
Like, it has been a very long journey. And starting your own thing after 30 years working for other people, it must have been quite daunting. Like getting a paycheck at the end of the month and the other thing where you are giving the paycheck, that's full circle.
You are right, but I think I was ready for it, so I didn't find it so daunting.
It wasn't so daunting.
I mean, okay. It's baby steps one at a time, but I think I was ready for it.
So do you come from a business background? Is your family into business and stuff, or your husband, or did you have help business-wise?
No. So I have started from scratch. My husband is in a job. My father at some point was in business, but he's now retired. So I've started this Moola from scratch on my own with no real support and help, frankly.
Okay. That's very interesting, if I may say so. So what made you start Moola and why Moola as a name? Now, the first part of the question you have already answered, but when I ask you, why Moola? Why not say Paisa and why not, Rupee and Taka and whatnot? So you can say a lot of stuff. Like, why Moola? That's a very colloquial Hindi term. So why that?
Actually, Moola is not a colloquial Hindi term. It's an English slang also. Okay. We know that we call it from Mool, the word Moola comes. But
yes.
Moola is actually a slang for money, even in English.
Okay.
Okay. And so when we were ideating about what to call this venture, of course, like you said, we had all these thoughts, but the word Moola kind of stuck with us when we were talking and ideating because it has this little bit of a feminine energy. It has a little bit of bounce. It has a little bit of zest. It's like, you know, it just feels a little more modern, more futuristic. It feels, even if you look at the Moola website, it's the whole feeling that we want to create is like very upbeat, very modern, and those are the things which I think Moola, the word, represents. It's young, there is an energy in it, and so that's what we wanted to convey and have our women also feel that, right? So we want our women to be confident, we want our women to be up in their game. If you know, the Moola tagline is actually, it's all about money, honey. Yes, I think it's just that the positive energy that word has is kind of got stuck with us.
It's because it has an English, or shall I say, English term, right? Hindi with an English urban middle class crowd. That's your target women audience, right? Because it's Moola for women, right? You're not going for the men. Even men
No.
understand moolah, and but why I'm asking all these questions, because see, until you know the term moolah, you will not understand what is moolah for women. I am a Bengali. If I didn't know what is moolah, I would be like, what is she talking about? So that is why I was interested. Like, it's not a pan-Indian term. It's a more a Hindi term with the English. Because if your audience is all over the world who are Indian, or maybe as you said, women, until and unless they know and understand the word moolah, they will not understand what it is about.
100%. So actually, moolah is an international word which everyone from every geography would be able to understand. And if you just write moolah on Google, the first word will be it's money.
Money. So nobody will actually in Bengali, moolo is a word for radish. So
for radish, huh? Right,
yes.
Right.
Okay. So moolika paratha and all that. Okay? Right. So it can get a little confusing for people who are new to the language. So that's why I asked so many questions about the name itself. So why do you think women should be financially savvy? Like, I think everybody should be financially savvy. So why target only women? Because don't you think now women are actually doing a lot of money stuff right away? Because as I know, the finance minister is a woman in India, and most mothers all over India are always managing the budget, even if they are not getting due credit. Maybe they are not doing the balance sheet and they are not investing in the share market, but they are actually budgeting. They keep stuff in little pockets and little envelopes, and then they pay the darzi and the, you know, maid and this and that. So they are always budgeting. So what made you think that women are not financially savvy and they need help the way you want to?
Sure. So I think that's a very brilliant question, Amrita, because first of all, when you ask why should women be financially savvy, I would say why not?
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Like you said, everyone should be financially savvy, whether it's men or it's women.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason that for me, it was important to focus on women is for various reasons. Okay. The first is the social conditioning that women generally have that, oh, while we earn, while we, you know, while whatever, whether we are a housewife or we are a professional, our work is to earn. But to manage money, we will depend on, you know, either our husbands or our fathers or our sons. So managing money is something which women generally keep out of as a social conditioning, right? So nowadays, like you said, there are doctors, there are engineers, there are IT professionals, there are architects, all these, you know, women and men for that matter, they're never exposed to the world of finance, first of all. So understand that schools don't teach us finance.
Yes.
Colleges don't teach us finance. So unless you really go through a formal degree, nobody teaches you finance. Even your parents kind of make it a taboo thing, and you're not supposed to talk about money. It's supposed to be, oh, not a good thing if you talk about money. And for all these reasons, people who are not exposed or haven't learned about money never get exposed to money until they start earning their own or they start managing it. Now, it's easier for men, or probably it may not even be easy for men, but the thing is, for men, it becomes like a thing that you have to learn. So, you know, it's like sink or swim.
Okay.
So they kind of, you know, try hard and do all this and start learning about money. But women, for whatever reasons, again, the fact, oh, we don't want to disturb the power equation in our homes, or we are so busy multitasking that, you know, let somebody else manage it for us. And for various other reasons, even if you're a professional woman, you don't land up managing your money. And so, you know, I think there's always that yearning which I've seen in women, that they feel fearful. They feel there is a little bit of insecurity which comes in all of us. I think as women, I think there's a lot of insecurity which comes into, because what if something happens, right? So, and of course, we've seen that in a number of homes, power games get played, and the money dynamics makes it very hard for women to kind of leave their homes, even if it's an abusive marriage. So for various reasons, I think that, managing finance and learning about finance is literally a life skill, because we need money from the day we are born till the day we die. And of course, because our women are now earning more, they're more aspirational. Like you said, women manage their budget so beautifully at home, right? Yet they'll shy away from doing bigger things like investing, because they don't know. They're scared. They don't know where. They don't want to lose their money. And you're earning so much. You're in good positions. You're earning a lot of money. But if you don't know how to invest your money, you know, you kind of fritter it away. It's like you earn, you kind of live paycheck to paycheck. You earn, you spend, you earn, you spend. And you don't realize that you should create some wealth for the future, for your financial goals in the future, whether it's whether you want to travel, whether it's your retirement retirement funds, or even things like, you know, you want to have a home, whatever it be, right? So I think women really need to not be fearful of finance and be financially savvy.
You're talking about managing money so that it grows, not just saving.
Absolutely.
When you're talking about
Absolutely.
Financially savvy and investing it smartly and being Absolutely. Empowered to take your own
Absolutely.
Decision so that they are no longer fearful.
Is helping women. Moolah is helping
women. So more and more women should be empowered. That's your goal.
100.
What are the three things about investment women should know about?
About investments, right?
Yeah.
So your question is about investments. What
yeah.
should. Okay. So the first thing which I would think of is investing is not that difficult. It's not rocket science. So please don't shy away from it. It's pretty much common sense. Open your mind to it. That's the first. The second thing I would say is start investing as early as you can. Okay. Because the compounding, we've all probably in our schools read this, learned this formula of compound interest, but never realized the importance of that formula. And I think what Albert Einstein says is compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. And he or she who knows it is the one who benefits from it. So the thing is that the earlier you start investing, the more your money grows and multiplies. But of course, it's never too late. So if you've already not started investing, then you must start investing. And I think the third thing is that once you invested your money properly, I mean, after doing due research and you're sure you've put your money in the right investment, wait, patient. Okay. Don't be in a hurry to say, oh my God, the money is not growing. I put it in 3 years back, but it's still not grown. The market is dipping and oh, my friend has pulled it out. So you have so many reasons for which you get jittery when you put your money and you pull it out prematurely. The only way money grows is if you just be patient and you let it grow. Of course, what is important is that you need to periodically look at your portfolio, but at the same time, don't be impatient and don't keep pulling out of stock, pulling out of one investing, putting into the other, then pulling out of the second investment, putting into third, doesn't serve the purpose. So yeah, those are my tips.
Suppose a 22-year-old woman, she has just passed her, say, MBBS and she's earning some money during her internship, which is around, say, 25,000 rupees per month. Okay, not too much and not bad since she has nothing to spend it on. So what should be her first investment starting out so that, she can still have a little fun, save for her entrance exams and still kind of build up her investment muscles, may I say? So what should she first invest in?
I think that is a brilliant question. And I like the fact that you've talked about a 22-year-old girl because actually that's when women start earning, right? Girls start earning at that time. And it's the best time to start investing. And in this case, you said she doesn't have many expenses because she's probably staying with her parents at this point in time. So it's the best time to invest as much money as you can, first of all. So if you can take out even 20 out of 25, you want to take out 20,000 to invest, do that. So the kind of investment that you make really is, it's a part of a financial planning exercise. And your first bit of money should always go towards an emergency fund, right? So the first thing that any person should do is create an emergency fund, which means that, like the word emergency means, it has to be available to you at any point in time and very quickly. So assume that, your expenses are maybe, think about, if suppose she's living with her parents, can she provide some kind of a support system for them and say, maybe, okay, let's assume 20,000 is my ballpark number. That so we were talking about a 22-year-old girl who's a doctor and who's like saving her,
internship money.
Where should she put her internship money? So like I said, the first thing should go towards an emergency fund. Let's assume she should, let's say, convenience sake, say that 20,000 is what she's her expenses are in a month. Okay. Even though that's being taken care of by the parents right now. So 20,000, and you should have minimum of 6 months of emergency saving. So once you've created that, so 6 months of emergency savings into 20,000 is about 1,20,000. That should be put in something which is very easy to liquidate or easy to get. So maybe in a fixed deposit or, something like, I think a fixed deposit is a very good way to start putting your money into something like that. Thereafter, your next money goes towards probably if she wants to buy some insurances for herself, she could do that. Or otherwise, then in a graded manner, once she understands, she can create an SIP and start investing. SIP is systematic investment plans. And using that, you can invest your money in mutual funds. Now, I must warn everyone that mutual funds, there are 2,500 mutual funds. Okay. And there are many, many kinds of mutual funds which are there. So mutual fund is not a investment instrument. With mutual fund is a bouquet of investment instruments in which you have to choose which one works for you. So they, like in mutual funds, there are debt mutual funds, there are equity mutual funds. Within equity mutual funds, there are large cap, mid cap, small cap, flexi cap, and many, many kinds of mutual funds. So don't just go in for the fact that, oh, my I'm putting my money, I'm using my SIP, I'm putting my money systematically month on month in a mutual fund. Be sure and understand each mutual fund before you start investing and decide which investment, which mutual fund you would want to invest in. So I think mutual fund is a beautiful way to invest your money.
And grow, right? That's what you mean to
absolutely,
say.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Give three quick tips to help save better. We talked about investment. How can we save right. better for women, especially women listeners on this podcast?
So I think the first thing is for everyone, okay, save before you spend. We often land up first spending and then saying, agar bachega, tab hum save karein. But that's not the way it happens. If you start spending, you'll never have enough to save. But if you begin by first, so let's assume you earn 100 rupees, the first 20 rupees must be taken out very immediately after the money comes in your account, or probably even before it hits your account, so that, you know, you are able to create an investment, you know, a kitty for your investment, and you don't even see the light of that day of that little saving which you've done. So yes, save before you spend. The second would be, don't wait for some event to happen. Oh, right now I'm hardly earning. I don't think I can save right now. Right now I'm sitting with my parents. Why do I need to save? My parents are saving for me. I'm not married right now. I'll save when I, or I'm not earning. Why do I need to save? We have so many reasons for, or I'm not earning enough. So various people have various reasons to not save and say, right now it's not the right time for me. Believe you me, every rupee that anyone has in his hand or her hand, whether it's your kids having your pocket money, whether you getting your money because you are a college student and your parents are giving you a certain amount of money, everyone who get, or you're a wife who's got a budget, right? So your husband's giving you some amount of a daily allocation or monthly allocation for running the house. Use every such opportunity to take out, pinch out. It's called pinching out 20. Out of every 100, pinch out 20 rupees and keep it aside in some kind of investment. So that's my second way to say, you know, for all of you to begin your saving journey. And the third is, remember the saying that every drop fills the ocean, right? Boon boon se sagar bharta hai, right? And every leak in a bucket. So think about a bucket which has got a hole, and what will happen? Slowly the water will empty out of the bucket, right? So think about all the kind of expenses that we do, all these impulse shopping, Amazon, okay, click on a button and then let's start, you know, shopping and doing, this is something very interesting, this is very nice, I love this dress, and you just click a button and you just buy it. Or you think about perfume, not even perfume, think about your lotions, your creams, your shampoos, you know, each of these things. You go to a departmental store, what do? You say, oh my God, the smell is smelling damn nice. Oh, this is something, a new product has come, and you buy it. Would you use two products together? Would you use two creams together? You'll use one, then you'll use the other. So don't waste your money. So many times we land up spending our precious money, and then when we come home, we've even forgotten about that thing altogether. So I think you have to remember that every little saving counts. So please use each drop to fill the ocean. And let not your leaks empty it.
So this is all very good. But money, I would want advice from, say, somebody with experience, which you already have. So tell us a little bit about your qualification. What makes you the expert that you say you are? So that, you know, my audience feels more comfortable going to you. Because you wouldn't want to go to a, say, you know, pathologist to show your heart, right? So I would want my audience to know why they want to go to you to learn about managing and saving better.
Thank you for that question. So yes, Amrita, the thing is that I've done my BCom and or my, you know, my graduation in BCom honors, and I've done it from the Sri Ram College of Commerce, which is one of the best colleges in India. I've done my MBA in finance from the Jamnalal Bajaj Institute of Management in Mumbai, which is again one of the premier institutes. I have also done courses in risk management and leadership from the IIM Ahmedabad and from another school called the Ford School of Business, which is in Delhi. And so those are my qualifications. Like I said, I've worked for 30 years in the field of finance, have all sorts of experience. So I think I have seen every facet of finance, whether it's, you know, corporate banking, wholesale banking, risk management, project financing, stress. I mean, you'd name it, and I think it's just everything. So I've seen it top down, bottom up, every way, finance. And the other thing is that when I started Moolah, or before I started Moolah, I did a lot of research. And what I found was that there were two kinds of material available or people available in the market who were teaching finance or talking about finance. One were these coaches who were more of behavioral kind of coaches, right? So these coaches are people who talk about abundance, who talk about how do you manage your money mindset, how should you, you know, look at money and think positively to grow your money and all that. But remember that none of these people are finance people. They don't have any understanding of how, or they don't have a financial background, right? So they're talking more from a mindset perspective, right? And there's the other set of people who are, I call it the finance gurus of our world, who are so left-brained in their approach, which means that they're so analytical, they're so theoretical, they're so, you know, they only talk in jargons, they'll talk in numbers, and they'll make it look so complicated that you will get put off even before you start. And so the whole idea behind, and when I saw these two spaces, I said, these two things really need to marry. There has to be a middle ground, especially when it comes to women. Because a woman, if she sees these complicated jargons, you know, math or numbers and all, she'll anyway be put off because she's anyway fearful. Most people are fearful and intimidated by the term finance. And if she goes to the people who are these behavioral coaches and all, she says, now I'm feeling damn abundant. I have a good, positive money mindset. Now what do I do? I mean, I'm feeling damn good about myself. I think I have abundance in my life, but then how do I manage my money? Right? And that's where Moolah came in to say that. And I personally am the person who is a right-brained person and a left-brained person. So I, being a woman, I understand how women think. I understand what are their insecurities, what are their fears, how do they think. And I, of course, being a finance professional, I have that understanding of finance. And because of the fact that I've seen finance from every angle, I'm able to make finance simple. And that is my, really my, what do you call, my power. Because if you see bahut hai in the world, I mean, you open it, you'll see everything. And I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm not creating something new in finance. But I think what my USP is the way I curate content. And the way each of my posts, each of my course posts are seen and read and, you know, kind of gone through again and again. And I make it, you know, before I even, what do you mean, made it public or made it open. I used to show it to so many people to say, do you understand? All non-finance people. And when if there was anything in the middle which people didn't understand, I would again, you know, kind of change it and make it simpler and make a story behind it. So yes, these are all my stories from my experiences, from my learning, probably my wisdom, the old 54-year woman that I am. I think I've learned so many things in so many years. And I think that's what makes me an expert, because what is mine, it's my content. It's like what I've created it from my heart.
We are going to learn both with our right and our left brain. That's what you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Okay. Absolutely.
But I have a very left brain question. Does your course okay. provide a certification for upskilling, and is it recognized by the government of India as a, you know, upskilling certification?
So while we do give a certificate, Amrita, but this is a self-certified thing. It's by Moolah. So currently we are not recognized, or we haven't even asked for any recognitions from the government of India or any other body. The idea, of course, as we go bigger, we may think of such things. But as of now, the whole idea is not about a certificate. The idea is about empowerment.
And
And
learning,
empowerment is something, and
and
learning.
actually
It,
learning. Okay.
right, absolutely. It's about, it's about learning, right? It's about empowerment, which means that it's for the self. It's not for projection. So
Okay.
frankly,
To
I
grow
am in
your
no
own
hurry.
bank balance. It's not to show
Absolutely,
somebody and then help
absolutely.
them grow their bank balance. It's for
Yeah.
you.
So there are many courses which are available in the market to show
Yes.
and to certify to people.
Yes.
I'm here to empower you and to strengthen your confidence.
Okay. So I think that will work for most people because ultimately being financially free means working for yourself and managing your money. You can't work for
Absolutely.
somebody else and then claim to be actually free. So I think I get
Right.
what you're saying there. And I have a few questions. Does your husband take your advice for managing money at home?
In fact, I manage the finances.
Okay, that's very, very good. That's what you're managing. That's very good. And you have kids. Are they listening to you about managing money?
So I have a daughter who's
Okay.
25 years old,
Okay.
and she is a designer. So
Okay.
she's not from a finance background, and
Okay.
she's working currently in New York,
Okay.
and she is managing. She was one of the first students of Moolah.
Okay, that's so good. So she's 25, living alone, managing her own business. That's very good. I think you have done an amazing job. And I think she can be your brand mascot. So best wishes for Moola. And
Thank you
one
so
last
much.
question. Do you have something free for my audience to learn from on your website? Maybe a freebie or maybe some kind of white paper or something they can go through.
Sure. So what's going so first of all, Moolah is all over on social media under the hashtag Moolah for Women. So you can check out Moolah for Women on Instagram, you can check it out on Facebook, you can check it out on LinkedIn. It's also called Moolah. Check it out under Moolah on YouTube. There are some lovely videos on YouTube which are free and available on Moolah. And there is a masterclass. There is a 2-hour free masterclass which has my signature slim framework. And I can share the link with you.
Please
And
do. I will share it with
yeah,
my audience. Yeah.
absolutely. So that's a free masterclass. And that will not only, of course, give you a little bit of the framework, but also tell you more about Moolah. So do check out the YouTube, of course. And before I forget, we've also done podcasts called Moolah Talks. And those are beautiful because they talk about the journey of a woman. So there's 6 episodes, and they talk about a journey of a woman from the time she's a child till the time she gets retired. So the entire journey is kind of covered. So, you know, when she has kids, when she gets through her career, through her empty nester, through her retired life. So it's a beautiful thing. It's called Moolah Talks, and it's available on all podcast channels, including Spotify, Gaana, Amazon, Apple, everywhere. Any of those things you can see.
I'll put all those links on the description and definitely send me the masterclass link.
I shall be sending them.
It was lovely talking to you. We are just running out of time and we will be cut off any moment. Thank you so much. And I hope to talk to you again soon and continue doing
Thank
the
you so
great
much.
work that you do. It's really lovely listening to you. Thank you
Thank
so
you
much
so
once
much.
again. You were listening to Dr. Amrita on the Health Wealth Rich podcast.